I'm speaking via Zoom today with Kevin Klass and Rebecca Parr. Kevin is the director of collaborative piano at the University of Tennessee, as well as music director and conductor of the UT Opera Theater. Additionally, many people may not know he is a composer. Rebecca is a poet, community activist, longtime production manager of the UT Opera Theater, and is also the founder of the Next Step Initiative in Knoxville. Welcome to you both. Thank you for talking with me today.
Thanks for having us. This is terrific.
So good to be here.
Well, we are chatting today about a project on which the two of you have collaborated, a song cycle entitled From Last Year. And so, Rebecca, you wrote the poetry for this cycle, and Kevin, you wrote the music. First of all, tell me how this idea and this collaboration came about.
A couple years back, I talked to Dr. Klass, and there was an idea of me writing a libretto and asked Dr. Klass if he would be interested in putting music to it. And life happens, and I've been very busy starting organizations and doing many things. And I kind of shelved it, wrote a little bit, and then I'll let Dr. Klass take up where COVID came in.
Well, once COVID struck, and this is the case for many of us, especially in academia and the arts, we just found ourselves with time on our hands that we don't really have. And so it ended up being kind of a productive year for composition. As you said, a lot of people don't know I'm a composer, and that's probably because it's not listed in my bio. I've never claimed to be a composer. But like a lot of musicians, I have musical ideas in my head, and every once in a while, I'll write something down. But yeah, Rebecca had approached me a while ago. Did I have an interest in possibly working on an opera? And then when COVID came along, I thought, well, maybe I'll revisit this idea. We hadn't talked about it for a while. But the thought had occurred to me, I mean, taking on the project of composing an opera is a pretty serious undertaking for someone who is not a composer full time. But I knew that she wrote poems. So I asked her if she would send me a group of things because I thought I might at least dabble, attempt at trying to set her words to music and see what that was like, and most importantly, to see if I could do it. So really, I just spent some time with her poetry, and some musical ideas started coming together, mostly in secret. I didn't tell her I was setting these to music, primarily because I wasn't sure that I would finish them. You know, again, I'm not a composer. I didn't have a deadline or prospective performances or anything. So I worked those out and then actually managed to finish them, and just happened to realize that her birthday's in November, so I presented her with a score on that day, if nothing else, just to say, look, what, I've done something with your song. So that was how our collaboration kind of came to be. In a way, this was really kind of a test to see just what I could come up with her words, her means of expression, her imagery, and the rhythm of her language.
Mm-hmm. What a great birthday present.
The best birthday present I've gotten in years.
So once you started working on them, Kevin, did the ideas come pretty easily?
Yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, I have decades of experience as an opera conductor working with text and music. And so I feel like I'm quite good at navigating that line between text and drama in music. So when I'm looking at the poetry, I really approached it the same way that I do with an opera libretto or art song or something, which is you start with the text and you just read it as poetry. And start to see what the words kind of want to be. And this was the really interesting thing for me as a composer in this process, was to see how the words themselves, how the text tells you they want to sound in musical form. And I don't know that I have a better way of explaining that, except that just as I kept reading the text, trying to immerse myself in the mood, the imagery that she's putting forward, musical ideas would form. Other things took a while. But all in all, I probably spent about 5 weeks, and then it's gone through, you know, a process of revision.
Rebecca, give us an idea of what these songs are about. What is the message that you are trying to convey through them?
So as a writer, I never really know what I'm writing. It's a discovery for me afterwards, what's coming, and it's usually coming from a feeling space. It's like written in pencil. That whole notion that all artists, I'm sure, have of how do we commit to the art, commit to what it is that we're saying or producing or creating musically. And there's always that, it's not a second guessing of self, but there's part of you that's like, not really sure, am I committed to this or not? And that just kind of wrote to that. And I've had that feeling all my life. I've looked back and I've seen that same question come up in previous writings too. Dandelion Muse was a reflection from when I was a younger woman. I'd been in a photo essay back when I was in college. it was kind of just a memoir almost, looking back at being a muse for somebody else. And so often people are muses for my writing that it was interesting to reflect on the fact that, oh, I was in that role at one point in my life and what that was like. Juxtaposition is, it's a little bit harder. It was a real instance in my life where I actually saw shopping carts on the side of the road, and I'd begun working on the streets a lot with different folks who were experiencing houselessness, and just the feeling of knowing that I have the comforts and the pleasures of my own home and my own bed, and what impact that has to the folks who don't have those comforts. The last piece, bravery, I've been very open about mental health and my own personal experience around mental health for all my life. And there's so much stigma around it. But that one was just questioning, not just for myself, that some of those are actual experiences I had, different periods of psychoses in my life when I was younger. But what are we doing? What are people, how do you even deal with those questions? And it almost seemed unfair to ask those questions, because I think people honestly are trying to do what they can to help folks. But when somebody is in that place, there's not really a lot you can do almost other than just listen. But the feeling state really comes after I've written them. It's like, I don't have an idea of what I'm writing. When it's over, I read them and I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, that poor girl. Or, wow, that's beautiful. Look at that. So it's kind of like third person almost. And then you find the discoveries.
There are four poems in this cycle. Is this from a larger collection of poems that you've written?
Yeah, those poems were written in 2019. My mom had given me for Christmas this little book, and it was bad poetry, and it's just a little notebook. And so I'd been filling that up with bad poetry. Why not? So it was kind of over that year I filled that book in. In 2020, I actually took a sabbatical and painted a lot in the production of the video and some of the content. You'll see some of my paintings as well. But I've been writing all my life, and that just happened to be a year. I think I was fairly prolific in getting things down. The coolest part about this project so far for me has been in seeing my words is one thing, but in hearing them, all these poems have taken on a whole different life. They almost don't feel like mine anymore. They feel like they have their own story, their own life. And Dr. Class, thank you for that, for creating, I mean, just the rhythms that he chose and the spacing musically. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of it that way.
That's so interesting. Would you say there's a common thread between the four poems in this set?
I think the thread would be that we're looking at a woman's life and different parts and pieces of a story of a woman's life. That is the common thread.
What does the title mean from last year?
I was actually just putting together some poems he asked me for, and in the subject line of the email I wrote from last year, and that's where it came from.
It was really that simple. Again, I emailed her and asked her if she would send some poems, and she did so quickly. She just had to, I guess, copied and pasted four random poems into an email and just wrote from last year up at the top. And once these pieces had come together as kind of a collection, and I thought, well, that's as good of a title as any that I could think of. And at that point, it was still a secret from Rebecca, so I wasn't going to ask her for a title on the thing. So I guess I kind of put that on there when I gave her her birthday present, but it kind of stuck. But in thinking, you know, when it was being written and the circumstances of, you know, COVID and how that has changed our lives, these pieces being composed in 2020, I thought, well, you know, from last year, I mean, this was 2020, so from last year, 2019 was a very different time for all of us. We were all kind of thinking of last year in terms of positives and negatives as something that was very, very different. It seemed like suddenly that title had some appropriateness and meaningness that maybe it didn't originally have. So we just agreed that that was a good title to go with. And I think from last year, thinking of last year, I mean, that can be metaphorical as well. Thinking of an expanse of a person's life, a year, 2019 to 2020, brought, you know, incredible changes in everybody's life. So to think of it metaphorically in that term, that a year could be the expanse of a woman's life. It seemed, I think Rebecca would say too, that as we've worked through this, dots just seem to connect themselves.
The collaboration for this project extends beyond the two of you here in Knoxville. This has actually turned into a collaboration between the University of Tennessee School of Music and the University of the Philippines. Kevin, tell me more about this. What is the collaboration and how did all of this come about?
Sure. Well, the Philippines is a place that's very important to me. I've been traveling there for a number of years and have done a lot of work with the University of the Philippines in Manila. And Alegria Ferrer is on the voice faculty. She's a singer. She's also a stage director, a film director, a number of other things. She's a real Renaissance woman. And so being a singer and someone that I know very well, a good friend, I just sent the score to her. Again, I didn't really have any ambitions about the work, but if I was going to release it into the wild, I wanted to make sure it was well written. And I know some things about the voice, but I'm not a singer myself. So I thought, well, I'll send it to Alegria and let her have a look at it from that perspective and just let me know, you know, even just a cursory glance, did I do things well or did I, you know, some things I need to rework. Well, Alegria, being this tornado of creativity, immediately came back and she said, you know, started talking about imagery that she was seeing in this poetry. She loved the poems and she spent a little time with the music. And she originally pitched the idea of doing some sort of a film. She likes doing these creative films, especially in the time of COVID as well. It's kind of a thing for her. And I wasn't going to say no to that. So she and I discussed what we might do and probably just on a very, very small scale. And I thought, well, at that point, had not even shown it to any other singer. I think she was the first musician at all that I'd given it to at that point. And she suggested that maybe we have a singer there in Manila. And they have amazing singers in Manila. I'll just say that. So she introduced me virtually to Stephanie. And somehow she persuaded Stephanie and got her on board to actually learn these pieces. So I came into my studio here at the University of Tennessee and did a rough recording, played through the piano tracks and sent those to her, and we got the ball rolling from there. So it was decided that this could be kind of a meaningful collaboration, because one of the topics that Allegri and I often talked about was, again, in this time where we don't really get to do a lot of performing as we traditionally would, collaborating with people in creative ways and reinventing the musical wheel is really important to keep the creative energies flowing and maintain connections that are really important to us. So we decided we would turn this into a real project. Alegria took the lead on that. And as we were working, I decided, well, we should document this process as well, because I thought it would be nice not only to just have either virtual performance or kind of an interpretive film or something, which is what Alegria was thinking, but I think just this whole process, even just this conversation, is, I think, really interesting, fascinating, and allows a lot of discovery. So not just to present a piece of music, but why this music exists, why this poetry exists. So we decided that ultimately we would do a little short documentary followed by this kind of art film, and all of that being coordinated and ultimately produced by Alegria Ferrer in the Philippines.
So as a collaborative pianist, you're used to collaborating and creating music in the moment, listening to your musical partner and supporting, following, and sometimes leading the music that you were creating in the moment. So was it difficult to record the parts separately? Like, did you have to have discussions on how you wanted the music to sound, or were you able to somehow rehearse virtually? How did that work?
We were not able to rehearse virtually. And a lot of that has to do just with where technology is. There are some things out there and it's getting better and better because this has become kind of the new normal over the past year for music making. But there are latency issues, and especially from, you know, other sides of the globe, that make it difficult to really perform music together in real time. So what a lot of people have been doing is this process of, right, recording your part in one place, sending it to somebody else, they record their part, it gets, you know, assembled, and it's a very unusual way of working, and I don't know that the results could ever be as good or as meaningful as being in the same room and performing, because, of course, as you know, as performers in live situations, you feed off of each other, you intuit breath and pacing, and you respond to the acoustics of the room and the energy of an audience and all of that sort of thing, and none of that can be fully anticipated or accounted for in this method. But one advantage of this, and I teach this with my students here at UT, is in having to perform the piano part separately and first, and then send it to the singer, I have to anticipate every breath, every nuance. I have to anticipate all of those things and work those into my performance before I can even send those. which is ideally, as you know, as I teach this, is what every pianist who is a collaborative partner should be doing in the first place. You have your own ideal interpretation in mind, you present that, and then you respond to what you're given. We don't just go into a room and hope somehow the other person's going to lead us. That's not really how that works. But yeah, this just forces that point that you have to have everything sort of accounted for in your mind and your body and your energy and put that forward. And then the process was, yes, Stephanie worked with these recordings. We had some back and forth discussion. We met via Zoom and talked through things. She sent recordings back to me until finally we kind of had it dialed in to just what we needed to do and where space needed to be given and time taken and that sort of thing. So it's certainly a more drawn out process than just walking into a room together, where a lot of that is done in the moment and instinctively. And here you really have to think it out and discuss it and try and retry a few times before you get something that really feels natural.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kevin Klass and Rebecca Parr, thank you so much for talking with me about your new song cycle from last year and about this exciting collaboration between the University of Tennessee School of Music and the University of the Philippines, Manila.
Thank you, Melody.
Thank you so much for having us.
From Last Year will premiere on YouTube on March 25th and will be featured on the UT School of Music virtual concert series on March 26th. The music will be performed by pianist and composer Kevin Klass and soprano Stephanie Kinton Avila, alongside an art film that was created by Alegria O. Ferrer. More information can be found online at kevinklass.com/events.
Does she?